This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last Christmas, I don't know if you remember this, but last Christmas, lots of kids and adults who opened Xboxes and PlayStations found that they couldn't use them because Sony and Microsoft had been hacked. The hackers who took credit were called Lizard Squad. And they, this group Lizard Squad, tried to make a hacking program commercially available so that anyone could use it. Contributor Wahini Vara, who covers a lot of tech stuff for The New Yorker, is here to explain. So Lizard Squad, what is that?
Lizard Squad is an underground collective of hackers who met online. Lizard Stressor is the hacking tool they developed. Basically, it's a simple tool that can effectively shut down a website for up to 8 hours or more, and anyone can pay to buy this. So on Christmas Day last year, Lizard Squad hacked into Sony PlayStation and Microsoft Xbox. And it was a publicity stunt because it turns out 5 days later, they announced that this tool is available, like I said, for anyone to buy for $6 to $500. They have to pay in Bitcoin only, of course.
So hacking for the masses.
Yes, exactly. Just a few days after all this, 22-year-old Vinny Omari is arrested in the UK.
Okay, wait a minute. Who's Vinny?
Vinny is a spokesperson for Lizard Squad. At least now he is. He's also a hacker who was part of Lizard Squad. He says his arrest had nothing to do with the actual Christmas attacks, but the search warrant says otherwise.
So, Wahini, what's the meaning of all this? What implications does it have for all of us going forward?
So here's the thing. In the past, we thought of hacking as something that people with some technical expertise could do, right? Like hackers were scary guys who knew all about how to program computers to do bad things. Well, so now what's happening is that these guys and others are creating tools that allow anyone to hack. And so it sort of lowers the bar for this kind of criminal activity, which has major implications.
So how does the hacking tool work?
Well, I asked Vinny the same thing, and he said the tool is so easy that my grandmother could use it, but I'll let him explain the details.
He's never met my grandmother or my mother.
In the simplest way that I could probably describe it, you put an IP address in of the website or the home connection or anything, basically, that you want hit offline. You put the seconds in or minutes or hours, and you just basically send the attack and all the servers that are connected to the Lizard Stressor tool. They basically send packets towards that IP address and just flood it. And that will cause the IP address or the server on the other end to just basically die down.
And by packets, you mean, just in layman's terms, kind of like messages or requests,
yeah.
Right?
Put it like this. Like, imagine if someone was to send like 50,000 text messages to your phone at once. Your phone would probably have a seizure or something.
Right. What was the point of Lizard Stressor? Was it to make money? Was it to force companies to make their own computer systems, their websites more secure? Or was it just for fun?
Yeah, it was literally just for fun and to rake in some extra money, I guess. Or the main goal was just to see how many people would actually buy the service. Like, and a large sum was made in the short amount of time that it was up and running.
How much money was made?
I can't give you an exact number, like the exact number off the top of my head, but like I believe it was definitely over 10,000.
And what was done with that money? Did you split it among yourselves, or is it sitting in a bank account somewhere? Or?
No, I didn't actually touch any of it, like especially because I was on bail, because this happened after I got arrested.
Right.
I'm always in it just for the fun, I guess, or just to see what we can achieve, you know? I'm not sure who else took anything, like I just didn't get involved with the money.
as I recall, in the BBC interview, you described yourself as a spokesman for Lizard Squad. What did you mean by that exactly? What was your involvement?
Well, to be honest, the BBC Five Live interview was just a complete like joke. If you listened to it, like you'd probably maybe hear me and my friend sniggering in the background. It was a complete joke. Like they were really serious about it, and we thought that it might be funny. But the Sky News interview was like serious.
And a couple of days later, you were arrested.
Yeah, I was arrested on the 29th.
Well, let me ask you this. The website of Lizard Stressor said at one point there was a disclaimer that said, permission is granted to stress test dedicated servers and networks owned by you. This is the opportunity to make your firewalls better, not to misuse against the law. And I wanted to ask you, who did you expect to see using Lizard Stressor? Did you think people would be using it to target their enemies? Or did you think owners of websites would use it to test their systems and see if they were secure enough?
No owners would actually do that. I mean, if it actually came to owners using Lizard Stressor or any other stress testing tools like that, they'd most likely use it against their competitors. But the majority of them were just home connections, really, to be honest, because they're like simple, and like a bunch of kids nowadays on Xbox or when they're playing on their PlayStation 4 or 3, they just like to take down other people. Like when they're playing Call of Duty, for example, they knock off like a member or two on the other team just so they have the advantage of two extra players on their team just so they can win.
I see. So this isn't necessarily some kid in Nebraska trying to take down Amazon.com or something like that. This is some kid in Nebraska trying to take down some kid in Iowa who he's playing a game with
online.
I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised if someone actually tried to take down Amazon. I doubt they would, because a lot of money would be needed, an investment of at least like £200,000 or $300,000, roughly around that much would be needed just to take down like Sony and Microsoft.
It's unusual, right, for a hacker or somebody involved in a hacking group to be so public about what he or she is doing. And
yeah,
it seems to me that after you were public about what you were doing, that was one of the things that may have triggered this arrest. And I wanted to ask why. I mean, you're talking to me now. Why be so public about what you're working on?
Well, here's the funny thing. My arrest, actually, according to the police that arrested me, it actually wasn't in regards to the attacks during Christmas. It was actually in regards to someone sending me $2,000 to be a leader in one of my gaming groups in an online forum. As soon as I went on Sky News and they saw my face and everything, I mean, they obviously knew who I was, then they decided to come straight to my house. And on the warrant papers where they had the warrant to come to my house and take everything, it basically did explain that there was a PayPal fraud and hacking into computers, and there was a couple of random other charges, along with Microsoft and Sony intrusions. But on my actual charges, the Sony and Microsoft attacks, they weren't listed on there, and they've been dropped as far as I'm concerned.
So when I tried to visit the Lizard Stressor website recently, it seemed to be down. What was going on there? I've noticed that a couple of times in the past when I've tried to visit, it's been down. And is there another way that people can access the service?
No, it was actually taken off because there's quite a story behind it. At the beginning, it was just created to make money. Recently, I'm not quite sure if you saw it, but basically the website that all of our servers were connected to, it was basically really vulnerable to several attacks. And the database was just leaked along with every single user's emails and passwords and whatnot on their payment methods. The National Crime Agency actually arrested 6 to 8 people, I believe, and they're still looking into another 50 people.
I'm curious about how your family reacted to all this, how your friends reacted. Did people in your life know that you were involved with Lizard Squad before this?
No, not really. My friends, obviously. I don't really try and connect myself with a lot of people because that's usually the downfall of everything. But I mean, I can't really say that now because of the position that I'm in. But yeah, my family, they knew. My dad would always tell me to stay away from the computer and stuff because he always felt like that I was doing dodgy things and stuff. Because most of the time, I'd have like loads of servers, and most people don't have that stuff usually on their computer screen. So,
and how did you explain it?
Well, I tried explaining it in the simplest forms. Like, I mean, I showed him, and after a while, he understood, like after like a year or two, actually. But at the beginning, he thought that I was selling drugs. So...
Let me ask you a little bit about the ethics of hacking and of these kinds of attacks that sure. Lizard Stressor allows people to perpetrate. Are they ethical? Are they unethical? Is there a gray area? Does it depend on who you're targeting, for example?
The attacks from Lizard Stressor?
The attacks, the kinds of attacks that Lizard Stressor allows people to make.
Well, that's pretty hard to say. It really depends on the person, I guess. Sure, someone could have actually used it to, like, test their website security, but, like, the chances of that actually happening are very slim. That's probably the only way that I could probably say that it's ethically or morally right. So it's sure. pretty useless. So, yeah, there isn't much of an ethical form of service, like, especially if it's like stresses and stuff like that, or the tool specifically.
So you would argue that as long as people are using things like Lizard Stressor to take down other people's servers, that isn't an ethical use.
Yeah, that's obviously as well as that, it's illegal. So
do you still consider yourself a member of Lizard Squad, for instance? Are you still interested in hacking activities that would be considered illegal, or are you now, you know, are you now on the other side of things? You describe yourself on Twitter, I think, as a security researcher or a security analyst. How would you describe yourself now? And is that different from how you thought of yourself a year ago?
Well, all security researchers or analysts, whatever you want to call them, they all do hacking anyway. So, like, it's just, it depends on which side you're on. You're either on, like, the legal side or the illegal side.
Right.
And the legal side's basically either finding yourself a job in a security company, working with the government, working for the government, being a snitch or any of the others. Myself, I've always just been in it just for the fun of it. Right now, I mean, I'm doing like a computer security and forensics course at a university in London, and I only started like a month ago. My main and initial goal was to actually work with the National Crime Agency or some sort of policing agency in the UK or in the US and help them.
Oh, I see.
Right now, the forensics teams, especially in the UK, they absolutely, like, they suck really bad. In my opinion, they definitely need to, like, hire hackers. I'd assume it would be a lot easier and, because I'm still on bail right now. My next bail's on the 25th of November. I'm not sure what's going to happen. Like, I'm not sure if my charges are going to get dropped or if they're going to get extended again for several months, or I have to, like, pretty much just, like, wait for my next bail date just to be able to, like, actually make a judgment for myself.
That's the British hacker Vinny Amari, formerly with the group Lizard Squad, talking with New Yorker contributor Wahini Vara. So, Wahini, if this isn't available anymore, so what? Does this have any lasting ramifications?
I mean, this tool itself might not, but it lays the groundwork for others certainly to try to do the same thing. And so it sort of puts this idea in the air that hadn't been out there before.
So we're going to have an army of kids in junior high school and high school who are going to get a hell of a lot more sophisticated about hacking. That sounds great.
Possibly.
Terrific. Thanks, Wahini.
Thanks, David.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.